today I would like to dedicate this episode to a few special individuals who are not you or myself, Magnus. I would like to dedicate this episode to, I know them as the Frisky Pigeon, but they're also the Friendly Pigeon for their not-safe-work art. I'd like to dedicate this episode to, you either know them as Gabriel and Stand By Me, or you know them as Discover and Trunks and Coats, if you were on LiveJournal when they started that project. And I guess I would also like to dedicate the episode to Misha Collins and Jensen Ackles, but only about a half dedication, and I'll explain why as we move forward in the episode. There's nothing spookier than an unfulfilled romance, and because we're talking about stuff for Halloween, as we began last episode in the clue episode with my friend Elizabeth, we're going to take a deep dive today, or as deep as we can want to go, into Destiel, which is the portmanteau of Dean Winchester and Castiel from the American dark fantasy series Supernatural. Hi, Magnus.
Hello. I know this is a subject close to your heart, so I'm fully behind us having a nice little wander, shall we say, through this subject.
Yes. People told me to shut up about it because I was so angry about the finale. So we'll see how I do today. I was reflecting on it and doing my preparation for this, as I normally do, where I look up information on Wikipedia. And the first thing I was going to have you do is to talk about, kind of set the scene and explain what Supernatural is for the five people that had never heard of the show. But something interesting I noted on the Wikipedia entries, and this is definitely different on the fandom Wikipedia, which is different from classic Wikipedia, which I like more because there are no ads on it and has better functionality and a better editing process. On the actual Wikipedia for both Dean Winchester and Castiel, it doesn't really mention their potential relationship. In fact, on Dean's page, it references Lisa, but it doesn't really reference his romance with Cassie, the potential bisexuality of the character. It doesn't really reference, it's a very cold clinical look at Dean Winchester, which is weird because it's the only time I've ever seen a cold clinical look at Dean Winchester. If anything, Castiel's profile is much more effusive about who Castiel is and what he learns specifically from Dean about humanity. So I'm just going to throw that out there as a tip, but it's a very interesting, if you look at the Wikipedia page just for Dean Winchester, it's very much not the experience that many of us had in the show. So just so you know, that's where I'm kind of coming from today. So let's give folks kind of an overview of, like, we're not going to spend half an hour on it, but if someone was like, what is Supernatural to you, what would you say, Magnus?
So Supernatural is the story of two brothers that follow their family's legacy of hunting down malevolent supernatural threats, and from folklore, from almost like strange science fiction and the fantastical, and pretty much roaming the country protecting various innocents against these malevolent forces. The original star of the series was very much focused on the two brothers and almost various random threats they were coming across. There was an overarching plot of a demon that was imperiling the family and seemed to be targeting Sam. But as time went on, it started to lean more into a lot of Christian theological tropes and theming, with the introduction of angels such as Castiel and such, and various, like, the primordial deities, as it were, of the universe. So I'm not sure what season it really took off from there. Maybe around Castiel's introduction it really started to pick off there. But slowly but surely went from being more episodic to being with sort of like an ongoing storyline, which, fair is fair, it went on for many years. It was How many seasons in the end? 15?
Started in 2005 and it ended in 2020. So yeah, it was 15 seasons of the show. The creator of it, Eric Kripke, I think that's how you say his name. He really thought the show was done at the end of season 5. And so really you can see kind of the delineation in generations of the show, because every 4 or 5 seasons they seem to have a new showrunner. So there's the reason when I say we're going to talk about Destiel and we're just going to do a brief overview about Supernatural is that Destiel almost seems to exist outside of the show was created. And when we talked about doing this episode, I was like, well, it's a little bit of a continuation of the Teen Wolf conversation, because most of the like stuff that happened that the viewers wanted to see with like Styles and Tyler Hoechlin's character really was outside of canon. It was mostly fan created. Sometimes service was done to it or nods in the show, but mostly things like the Big Bad Wolf Little Red Riding Hood trope was created by the fans to really fulfill a need that didn't really show in the show. So this really feels kind of like we've talked a little bit about Buffy. So it feels like Supernatural fills the slot for American dark fantasy post Buffy, pre Teen Wolf, I think would be a fair way to say it.
Certainly the first couple of seasons, like there's some essence there, some aesthetic that if you've watched Buffy and Charmed and stuff like that, there's certain elements like present when the boys are first sort of like starting off and everything. You almost in a way like very Scooby-Doo-ish in them going off in their own little mystery van. It's not really a mystery machine, is it? But
it's somewhere where you can store a body. That's why it was chosen. The Impala was chosen because it's somewhere you can store a body and people lock their doors when they see an Impala ride up. What's interesting is that really this was a continuation of the Scooby-Doo mythology. The guy that created the show really did see it as a road trip show going across the country showing off urban legends. So that Monster of the Week formula in the first 3 or 4 seasons before the introduction of Christian mythological elements, which is what they call them, instead of Angel. it really was about the idea of traveling and just seeing. There were the overarching concepts. There was the humanity of, you know, the deal with the demon. There was the humanity of John Winchester, who we slowly became to realize was a nightmare of a father. And then Jeffrey Dean Morgan would go on to play a nightmare of a zombie killer in Walking Dead. There's something interesting about Supernatural as a show's willingness to survive that mirrors kind of the willingness to survive of its main characters. Quite famously, Dean and Sam, who are really the only two main characters. Everyone else is recurring and lives revolve around the Winchester boys. They died about a million times on the show between the two of them. The recurring joke is that like they became so familiar with death, they became friends with death. They actually murder death at one point in one of my favorite season intros ever, where they bring in death and they have him like walking down the street and there's like this great soundtrack. So Castiel's entrance changed the show. That's when it really started becoming less about the Monster of the Week and really did start to focus more on the inner lives of Sam and Dean. It was kind of no mistake after that. We met Lisa and Ben. No real big mistake after that. We started seeing more of Crowley, and we started seeing a softening of the power of demons. They had to start creating larger and larger monsters because they softened the demons in order to make sure the boys survived. So then you get Metatron, you get Dick Roman, you get Amara, you get... The show is really big for anti-heroes, so except for like Kevin and Charlie, almost all the Winchester associates are anti-hero archetypes. And they flirt with them pretty openly. So you got Benny, you got Rowena, Those are the two that come off the top nine. Crowley is a really big anti-hero, but he's also the king of demons.
What season was Castiel introduced again?
Castiel's introduced in season four as part of the Crossroad Demons plotline, essentially. So Dean ends up dying at the hands of the Hellhounds trying to kill Lilith, who is holding on to his contract because he has sold his soul to save Sam. And so at the end of season three, he's gone to hell. It feels very like Buffy, end of season five. Show's probably not gonna, or end of season four, beginning of season five. Show's probably not coming back. Main character sacrifices himself. There's a lot of Dean Winchester Buffy summer parallels. There really are. There's a ton of them. It's not even joking about it. I've read some fanfics where they actually become best friends and lovers, and I think it's weird because that's too much power in one relationship. I do think he would love to be dominated by Buffy, but that's a different conversation altogether. Yeah, so at the beginning of season four, he literally, the opening of season four is him digging his way out of his grave. And that's also the introduction to Castiel. We don't know that for quite a few episodes, really. Because we get Castiel's name, but we don't see Misha Collins until about halfway through the season.
Okay, so a question I have now then is, considering a point that you raised before about the was it the original showrunner thought that it was only going to go up to season five, did you say?
Yeah, he
And that
the sense is that the end of season five was like the was could have been the end of the show, essentially, is the sense I get. Yeah.
So do you think Castiel's introduction, there was originally another type of role intended for him, or how he was going to be
Yeah.
was going to be different, and then the writers then sort of added to and evolved his character into a different direction?
It's pretty well known at this point because this is one of the shows that always get these questions asked at cons, at Comic-Con conventions. And so it's pretty well known at this point that Misha Collins as Castiel was only supposed to be in for six episodes, and Dean Winchester was supposed to have a relationship with the angel Anna, who is the angel that he actually does have sex with in the back of the Impala. In the episode where Castiel is introduced, or the episode before, there's a couple episodes where it seems like it's a two-parter, but it's like one long episode. In my brain, I didn't like watch the 15 seasons in order to prepare for this, so this is all coming from my brain. But it's pretty well known that Castiel's popularity is the only reason Anna didn't become Dean's like angel of choice. Like there was just something about the chemistry between the two of them, between Dean and Cass, between Misha and Jensen, that changed kind of the course of the show. So at the end of that original arc, Misha Collins as Castiel is exploded, but then he's brought back by Chuck Shirley, who is also God, but we don't know he's God yet. At that point, we just think he's Chuck Shirley Prophet. And so he's exploded. But then he's brought back by God. And it's this whole thing where there's an apocalypse, and then they never explain how it's thwarted. They just kind of, the boys wake up in an airplane, and Castiel is just unexploded, and it's never explained why. And it really does feel. Part of it is that the WB and the CW never really gave Supernatural enough money. It was not a very popular show for a while. And so every season could have potentially been its last season until it was suddenly very popular. If you look at the tabletop role-playing game for Supernatural, it released information for the first six seasons, and then I don't think it's done anything after that. So it's kind of, I'm not sure at what point it became popular enough to be self-sustaining and have the money. But I know it had to do with the introduction of the Christian elements and the introduction of Castiel, because the Castiel-Dean relationship from the very beginning literally sparks flew. So.
It could have been the fact that, because originally the show was very much like, familial bro sort of show, you know, two brothers against the odds going off and having their wacky adventures. And then the introduction of almost like a third partner, changing them from a duo to a small group, and then having more like consistent interactions with like recurring supporting characters, start to change the dynamic.
I do think that Deskiel in the beginning had hallmarks of very familiar, classic, not quite sitcom tropes, but sitcom tropes. So I'm thinking of kind of these 90s lesser-known sitcoms like Due South or Night Court, where you have someone that is very knowledgeable and very handsome and is the main lead. And then you have like his associate who doesn't know as much, who's kind of handsome in his own way. But it's kind of just tagging along and learning. And it's kind of this classic trope, but it was never done. In the beginning, there was, like, quite famously, the first supernatural fan fiction for Castiel and Dean happened about 5 minutes after the introduction. But for me, it didn't really feel like there was romance until we'd gone past that original six-part arc. There is some allusions to it. Dean was always a very sexual creature at the beginning of the show. He was always very tactile. He lived like he was living on his last leg because he was for most of his adult life. The idea of them being romantic is an interesting thing because it doesn't occur to me until a little bit later. And that first six episode arc, I don't think we get enough to go off of, but by the time we get to season seven, season eight, and they're literally kicking Misha Collins off the show in parts because the like magnetism is too much there, so they have to get Castiel away from Dean. it then really feels like a character fighting against the writers of the show. And of course, I think people need to understand too in context. By the time we get to 2010, 2009 is the year that Glee comes out. And so I want you to have context for why Dean Winchester wasn't bisexual sooner. I want you to have context for this romance. In American TV, being out was something we didn't really have older male role models for. In 2010, the only real male out character on TV, I would say, that I can think of off the top of my head, and I am wrong about this because there are more, but like the only one on like cable TV, so not including HBO and Showtime, so not including Queer as Folk, not stuff like that, Kurt Hummel, the effeminate countertenor from Glee, was really the only major out broadcast character on a major network. And of course, the CW, which was the home of Supernatural for a long time, was not a major network. There were no out characters on any of the proto superhero shows. There was not really any even bisexual characters on kind of the more salacious shows like Gossip Girl. You know, even on shows like Revenge on ABC, which are over the top, the queer characters were kind of very much the two queer characters they had were very much out for their own thing on this over the top nighttime soap opera. So like, Dean Winchester coming out could not really have happened at the show's beginning, nor do I think anyone really knew he was bi. I think it took time to peel away the layers of his trauma in order to actually see what was down in there. And it's like, the sparks flying were not, I don't think it was like devices, this is the signal that we're going with a bi Dean. But I do think that it eventually became a case of a war between the actual character, the actors, versus the writers. And that's why there are just swaths of seasons where there's just no Castiel, because they had to keep Misha Jensen apart.
So we actually briefly touched upon the length of the show, being like, you know, 15 years worth. Like, 15 years doesn't sound a lot, but in television, a 15-year show is actually quite an accomplishment for something that's not a soap opera.
In the 10th or 11th season, it became the longest-running live-action fantasy show ever made. Like, if it had been a cartoon, it would have outlasted the Flintstones, which was up until The Simpsons the longest cartoon ever made. Like, I don't
Wow.
think people get in concept on TV how rare it is to have something run as long as Supernatural did. Like, you just can't wrap your mind around it.
I mean, to use an example that comes to mind, it's not a great example, but Big Bang Theory, I think it
Yeah.
lasted way longer than Big Bang, and look how Matt like popular Big Bang was with quite a large demographic. It lasted for ages, and it lasted quite a long time, I think, after the cast think for probably it was gonna like conclude and such. But that lasts a long time. And the reason I bring up the time aspect is it also existed during a time that we've actually touched upon previously. I think it was in Teen Wolf and Buffy to an extent. The sort of the dawn and the popularization of fan fiction via the internet. Now, so things like 2004, Facebook launched, and you did have start to have social media, but it didn't, social media as a whole thing didn't really take off in massive bounds until I think it was the early 2010s, wasn't it?
I would say because I was on LiveJournal before that, but it was a very indie thing. It still is, in some ways, a very indie thing. There aren't a lot of people that are writing for TV or film that talk about getting started on fan fiction. But fan fiction is still, I mean, most people think of, when they think of fan fiction, they probably think of something like Tumblr, which, of course, now is one of the only social media sites still running, honestly. Something interesting here, too, is when we talk about longevity, I was surprised by this, and this is just a little bit off track. Young Sheldon, which is the spin-off of Big Bang Theory, is actually better than Big Bang Theory was in its heyday. It's a lot less of that kind of nerd face that Big Bang did. I think it has more heart, and it has really great actors in it. But yeah, so shout out to Young Sheldon for subverting my expectations of spin-offs being awful, because it's actually pretty compelling, and it doesn't have that weird laugh track. Yeah.
I've heard that Better Call Saul ended up being better than oh God, I can't even think of the name off the top of my head.
Breaking Bad was
That's it.
the show it came off of.
But I've heard Saul is more been far more well acclaimed than even Breaking Bad was. And that was a spin-off from what I understand.
Yeah, it was. It's good for them. Yeah, it's one of the things Supernatural was never able to do, actually, is that there have been about seven different failed spin-offs, but
Oh,
nothing
has
ever.
there?
Yeah, so
I knew the
Wayward,
Winchesters.
yeah, the Winchesters was the newest one. Wayward Lives, which was supposed to focus on Girl Hunters. The anime, I think, was supposed to be its own spin-off at some point. It wasn't actually become its own thing. So there have been attempts, but there's something about the magnetism of Dean, Sam, and then later Castiel, and in some ways Bobby, in some ways I would argue their friends like Ash. There's something great about Supernatural in that it built a world inside of a world. It did something very familiar. Fantasy and science fiction and horror readers know this trope really well. People that grew up with Harry Dresden know this trope really well. It's the idea of the world within a world in the supernatural, in the shadows, and there are people that live that life and they just travel it and you just meet them briefly. And Supernatural does feel that way. It helps Dean Winchester's kind of aura, his bad boyness, the leather jacket, the Impala thing. It gives a very specific type of energy to Dean. And so we get to the era of Dean where Michael the Archangel is trying to take over Dean's body, but he has to get consent from Dean for this, and Dean's like, no, why would I do that? Because at this point, Dean is really getting kind of burnt out on angels not being as angelic or helpful as they thought. And I think really here, after Castiel, where Castiel starts to grow affection for Dean, which is something that people have said, not even including like a sexual identity, but just like an affection and learning from Dean, we start to see Dean's core. And so we go from this like snarky in the pilot, he's making a joke about nothing about him real but his boobs, right? He's just getting pinned against a sheriff's car. We see him go from this devil may care, and we start to actually see the real trauma of him being the brother that's expected to do everything right. We start to see in Dean someone who is actually kind of yearning for a way out. And then this is actually what I love about season, I think it's season six or season seven. This is the season where Sam kind of gets trapped in hell and Dean can't do anything about it. So Dean meets Ben, who is a kid that he had with Lisa that he didn't know about, and he goes off to try to live what they call this apple pie life. So he goes off to try to live this heterosexual perfect life. He uses his ability to do mechanic stuff. He mows a lawn. He does everything, quote unquote, normie people do. He does the thing that was expected of him, the thing his brother wanted, being a lawyer at Stanford. He basically forswears off this hunting lifestyle that was foisted upon him by his father and by circumstance. And later we find out God, who has been controlling the whole thing, find out in the finale, still have so many feelings about it, how good it could have been, and how good it was not. So he tries to live that life. And anyone that is queer, of course, will see this storyline and go, aha. So, like, this is the most overt queer storyline for Dean you could possibly create, is Dean attempting, trying so hard to live this perfect, normal, average life, do the right thing, be the right guy. And it kind of works for a while. But not just because God is pulling strings, but because Dean Winchester is who Dean Winchester is. I mean, his name is out there. He is the thing that monsters fear. So, of course, the monsters are going to come back for him. And then his brother comes, the way that he went to his brother, and he pulls him out of that perfect life and back into this life on the road. So, even excusing kind of the visualness of motel rooms and truck stops and like this kind of ephemeral life in like the dirt and the muck and the mud, there's something very queer about Dean Winchester, even just in that he can't stop being who he is and being a hunter. And he has some female relationships in the show, but the longer he's with Castiel, the longer he's learning and teaching Castiel things, the less we see female people, the more we see him actively checking out guys, the more he flirts with guys. The more the fandom has decided when he was a teen trying to make money, he probably hooked up with guys that were truckers. And so it's an interesting thing of they actually did the queer thing and then they tried to take it back. Because they could never decide how much they wanted Castiel to be involved in the show. He was a main character, then he was a supporting character. Then he was a main character, then he was a supporting character. And it all really came down to every time he was with Dean, they got closer and closer, and they were more intimate in a way that you just really don't see two men on television being outside of a romantic relationship. I mean, there's just literally no other way to say it. And whether or not it's queer, it was a romance. It came to a point where literally Castiel went through an arc where he was brainwashed to murder Dean, and like they used bisexual lighting because the woman angel Naomi trying to get him to murder Dean or murder his affection for Dean has like a warehouse full of 1,000 Dean robots that Castiel is killing. And it's like they do all that and then they take it back consistently in this show. And that's part of what this, so it's not quite like Teen Wolf in that it's just a little bit wink and nod, and it's not like Buffy where that kind of thing never happened. It's very much its own thing where you can't throw around the term queer baiting. This is literally a show that did it for seasons on end. Seasons of it, an exhausting number of seasons.
No, Teen Wolf was more about the subtext.
Yes. I never
Supernatural.
felt that Teen Wolf was like angry at its fans for creating their relationships either. I
No.
felt they understood that fans would tend to read queerness into it, were looking for queer relationships. I never got the sense, sometimes I get the sense from Supernatural that they were being very angry and mean and bitter about their fans. We saw it on Glee with Brittany and Santana. We saw it on Supernatural. There was an episode about because in canonically in the show of Supernatural, there are supernatural books about the brothers that are supposed to be the new gospel, the new Bible. And so it's actually like a play-by-play read of what they are doing. And like these teens at a high school create a musical about it and have a Dean and Castiel or a Sam and Dean. They have a relationship with Dean with either Sam or Castiel. And it was a point made both to Destiel shippers and Winsess shippers, which I don't agree with as a thing personally. It was this idea that the fans were making up something that wasn't there. And it was very hurtful. And it was not anything I'd seen, not on Glee, not on Teen Wolf, not on Buffy, where it was literally like the creators and showrunners at the time and the writers going, "We control the real narrative. You can want what you want, but that doesn't mean it's real." And you can kind of see from that episode to the finale where they're almost actively fighting with the fan base to take the queerness away and make Dean something he wasn't at that point anymore. If it had happened in season five, you could still accept it. By the time we get to the musical episode, essentially, Dean had changed so much that the person they wanted him to be was not a person he could be anymore. And it was almost like John Winchester trying to stuff his son back in the closet, back in the box. Because even if he's not bisexual, which I do think there's strong evidence for, even if he's not bisexual, Dean Winchester was not the character in season 15 he was in season one by any stretch. He had been, there was a thing called the widower arc, which is what it was called, at least by fans, where he literally mourns Castiel in a way he's never mourned any female character he's known. This is a guy that hadn't had a physical relationship with a woman in at least 3 or 4 seasons at that point, and was not that season one 20-year-old that, Jensen was when he was cast. I mean, the show was on for 15 years, so Jensen started the show. If he started the show at like 20, 21, he was almost in his 40s by the time he was done playing Dean. And you can't stay the same person you are for 15 years,
No.
especially in a harrowing supernatural bonded experience.
Yes. What we're venturing into now is very much kind of a step back away from the plot of the show and the narrative and into the interaction between the show's cast, its creators, writers, etc., and the fandom, and in a sense, discussing very much when it comes to fandom and what the fans like view and how they want to celebrate the show, and sort of like how that's taken and reacted to in turn by the cast and the writers. And again, this I know we keep going back to this, but again, this very much touches upon a lot of stuff what we did discuss in the Teen Wolf episode about the nature of fandom as a thing, and the fact that there's different shades of fans within every community. There's got to be people that watched Supernatural not for anything else except the action, like,
Yeah.
oh yeah, let's do it, gunslinging, whoa, you're
I
like,
mean,
you
it is
know.
a Western. So Eric Kripke said it was, based on the idea of a Western, essentially.
What would you say? It was a sort of like a neo-American supernatural western.
Yeah, he wanted it to be so. Dean later develops a whole bunch of kinks, including a cowboy kink, which we'll get into in the latter half of this episode. Because I think it's kind of incredible that of all the kinks you could have chosen, that was the one you chose. But it's also this idea of it was never supposed to be a show that was rooted in any one town, which is really unique. Because normally you have to root something in one location because you have a finite amount of places that you can film. And it's an unusual thing to have a show that is a quote unquote road trip show where you're going to go town to town and essentially be in a new location each episode. That is a Herculean task. It's actually literally almost an insane thing to do on something where you're going to have someone giving you money to produce this. And it's an interesting thing that this show survived all the people monkeying with it and trying to change the formula for good or for ill. And it really does speak to kind of how much the fans were yearning for what Dean and Castiel offered. For the second half of this episode, the best way, because again, this is a show that took place over 15 seasons, 20 plus episodes each season. I kind of want to talk about Dean and Cass in relationship not just to each other, but in relationship to the characters they were in relationship with, because Dean's language is really relationship. And so just to give this kind of latter framework, I'm going to talk about one episode I really love and mention an episode I love that's not going to be used for the conversation. So I'm going to do that. We're going to talk about N versus Cass. We're going to talk about Benny. I want to talk a little bit about Charlie, and then I want to talk about Jack, because the last 3.5 seasons of this show really are about Jack, who is essentially an adopted kid that he has with Castiel that magically goes from being a baby to being a teen. And it's wild, but it's kind of going to wrap up this conversation well and talk about going from the Dean we see in season one, who is just on the run from the police and is living off of stolen credit card information, and just fighting monsters because that's what his dad has taught him to do, into season 15, a Dean that has a home, even temporarily, a Dean that has become more comfortable in his own skin, a Dean that has discovered a passion for cooking. But we have to get there first. So, two episodes I really love. The one that's not useful for this is there is a Valentine's Day episode where Sam and Dean get trapped in a hotel where it's a whole bunch of gods that don't want the apocalypse to happen. And because they know that Dean is the sword of Michael, and if he says yes to Michael, the apocalypse happens. And so they want to murder Dean. But just the whole episode, the setup is great. The reveal of who the different people are that are gods is really great. There's eyeballs in a soup that Dean sees in the kitchen. I think as a standalone episode, if you've never seen Supernatural, the Valentine episode in the hotel is probably one of the better episodes. If you just want to like a one-off view of what the show was after they introduced deities. The first episode where we start to go off the rail with Dean's sexuality, for sure. There's no other way to put this, because there's a reference to Dean wearing silk pink panties. There is a reference to Castiel having orgies, if he chooses to do so. There is a reference to the idea that Dean and Cass have something going on in a version of the future where it is a complete zombie apocalypse. I don't know the name of this episode officially, but I think it's called Krakatoa, which is the name of the virus that's sprawled on one of the sides of the building. And in this, Zachariah, who's trying to get Dean to say yes to becoming Michael's sword so Michael will possess him, sends him to a far-flung future where Sam has been taken over by Lucifer. Most of the world's population is dead. Nobody has any toilet paper. It's not COVID-19, but you'd think it would be. And Dean ends up in this camp seeing his Impala, and he gets hit over the head by a future version of himself who's militaristic, who goes hard on torture, who's like Clint Eastwood, super cowboy, super like inner tortured, angry guy that is like super fatalistic. And Castiel is there as like this orgy god who no longer has angel powers. He's very sensual, very upfront, and he's still with Dean. He's still choosing to be there with Dean. And present day Dean, who's trying to be talked into avoiding this fatalistic future, is just kind of between the two. And there is no way to describe this episode other than hella gay. It is like the amount of fan fiction, not just made by me, but made by other people about this fictional zombie universe where Dean and Cass have gotten together and broken up, but they're still there together, or they're like together on the down low, or it's a very voyeuristic relationship where Dean sends women to Cass in order for Cass to have his orgies. It's a whole thing. They never really talk about Castiel's sexuality in that episode. It's always Dean's sexuality that comes up. Cass in his orgies has men and women, apparently, and like nobody even bats an eye about it. But like, so present day Dean sees how much Castiel's going to go through with him because, you know, the episode, the idea is that they're going to go after Lucifer and it's a suicide mission. But Cass still goes with him. And there's no other way to read it as than a love narrative. It doesn't have to be about sex. When you have a narrative about love and trust, it doesn't have to be about sex. I think for them it is about sex. I think Dean's fetish here, we start hearing about his fetish for hentai shortly after this. I do think for Dean, and maybe potentially for Cass learning from Dean, I do think there is a sexual component. And I think it's fair to read that into it. I don't think every show that has something like this has that happen. I do think Supernatural specifically created a scenario in which, even if they didn't want it to happen, they lost control of it. I do think, though, this end verse episode, which is probably one of the best episodes of this entire season, maybe of the entire series, is really about Dean realizing that even if he goes too far, even if he loses his brother, his angel is still there. It's Cass, you know, and it's his. At that point, it is possessive because Castiel is not his own character really at that point. He hasn't tried to become God yet. He hasn't lost his mind. He hasn't been brainwashed. He's literally just the guy that raised Dean out of hell before he lost his soul completely. He's the guy that saw Dean's true angry, bitter, demonic form and said, "I still choose him." That's gay as hell. That's remarkably gay. There is no other way to put it. And there's no way, there's not even, there was no way at this point in the series there hadn't been a moment where Dean wasn't curious enough to see what Castiel looked like without clothing. I'm sorry. They did it in Buffy when they had the doppelganger with Xander. There is no way that Dean Winchester never peaked up to that point. There's no way he didn't ask. Canonically, Castiel has watched him sleep, though there's no way Castiel hadn't seen some things. Like they created a scenario where there was literally no other way for it to happen.
I mean, from everything that's been said within this podcast, you could almost view the development and interaction between Dean and Cashel as almost a sort of tragic love story. It's incredibly fragmented. As you say, there's sort of been a back and forth of trying to like get the characters and story onto one track or the other. But as fragmented as it is, there's so much there, so much evidence to say that an interpretation of this story is very much that in that vein.
I think it's fair to say the only story that has ever come close, and that is a slow burn that can't really ever be consummated because of how it was written by the creators, is probably Steve and Bucky. But only MCU Steve and Bucky, not Marvel Comics Steve and Bucky, only the Steve and Bucky that are Chris Evans and Sebastian Stan. Because they're kind of their own product. There's really no other homosexual, heterosexual, any other couple that did not get a resolution. I even if you look at probably Brian and Justin from Queer as Folk is probably the most iconic will they, won't they, on again, off again couple, I would say, in queerness. Maybe there's been ones on the L Word. Maybe there's been a lesbian couple that has been longer on TV, but I can't think of one in the moment. There is no couple like Dean and Castiel. I don't think, because people had written like slow burn fan fictions where Xavier and Magneto get together after like years and years. So like fan fiction was very well acquainted with the idea of slow burn, 30 chapters spanning 10 years, 30,000 characters kind of thing. By the time we get to the Purgatory season in season 8, and Dean shows up with this vampire pirate called Benny, who's this like older bear daddy, there's so much that has happened between him and Cass, especially in Purgatory, where Ann Jensen Ackles has said, and I quote, "This is where Dean felt most free," that you cannot imagine there was not at some point something happened in Purgatory in a scene that we just simply did not see. Because basically, there's an entire season where Dean is literally chasing after Castiel to find him in a wood that is like literally grayscale, where there is only shadow and no real source of light. Because it's like, I think in this mythology, it's essentially the damned version of the Garden of Eden. I can't remember exactly. But also, Benny is pretty openly bisexual as a vampire pirate, and he has some shades of Dean in him, and that he's trying to like repent, and he doesn't really want to be a vampire, but he is, and he's trying to do right. And there's a lot of energy between Dean and Benny that kind of reads to me as like a rebound relationship or trying to find yourself before you go back to the person you really want to be with. Much has made hash about that, but if you look at the whole of season 8, just the idea of Dean Winchester searching for Castiel in that season, and this is about the midpoint of the show, I would say, season 8. It really does start to change things. Benny is the great side character because, like, say, Charlie, Dean is kind of reflected in them and grows in relationship, but you can also see Dean in them. Charlie, of course, is a lesbian character, and they share a love of, cosplay and of specific porn actresses. And Benny is a vampire pirate. And they just, the way Dean and Benny talk, their manner is so effortless and funny, but they both have such power to them and they respect each other. I find it hard to believe that that wasn't written as a coded relationship. I don't know what else you'd write it as, because they were beyond buddies. Like, I don't know what else you would do with that, like, as a person that does writing. I can't imagine what else Dean and Benny would be. And then Cass comes back, and Benny has to go because no one can be in competition with Cass for Dean. But then Cass is also human now, or something like that. So he's trying to also find his way without Dean. And then we get them moving Misha Collins out again because they can't have Dean and Cass in the same room for too long.
Oops.
It starts to get very convoluted, and it really does like go back and forth because they can't seem to find a rhythm to it. Also, before I forget this point, Sam never in any iteration of either the show or fan fictions ever has any problem with his brother being in love with Castiel. Sam is almost always the most supportive ally, not only because he has his own faults, but and not just because potentially he is in love with Gabriel, but like Sam has never been anything other than supportive of Dean just being his true self and may potentially even getting out of hunting. That's one thing they always talk about, frankly, with each other is the idea of eventually they don't want this life for themselves. And there's a lot of versions of fan fiction Sam, and maybe even show Sam, where if Jared Padalecki hadn't been going off to play the new Walker Texas Ranger on the CW, probably the finale would have been very different. Because that was the reason the finale for Supernatural was the way it was. But Sam has never had any problem with Dean potentially being bisexual. Like, there's no version I can think of Sam that would have an issue with it. Now, he probably doesn't want to know about his brother's sexual escapades, But that is not the same thing as being supportive. So, yeah.
Oh no, totally. I had this mental image of Sam to one side wearing some sort of t-shirt that says, "I love my bi brother,"
Yeah.
and waving a small
There's some comics about that. There are some of my favorite, actually, later Supernatural comics are just people drawing Sam's reaction to walking into the bunker kitchen in the morning, and like Dean and Cass are either doing like a breakfast thing, or they look like they're about to like eye bang each other out of existence. And like he either just like slowly walks out of the room or sighs because he's been living with this for so long. They make a joke about it on the show with Rowena at one point, but like Sam is okay with Dean being who he is. He's okay with if Dean comes out or if Dean doesn't come out. He just wants Dean to be happy. And so we have Charlie gets fridged. Charlie gets murdered for absolutely no reason, which I'm still pretty upset about because, again, the investment Dean makes in his friends is so important to the show. It's kind of the hallmark of the show in a way in the later seasons is how people invest in each other and create found family. And then Castiel goes and decides to raise a woman's baby that Lucifer got pregnant. Either Lucifer was possessing him when this happened, or he murdered Lucifer and left behind the. I'm never. There's a lot of stuff that happens later. She is, and I'm not actually sure what the whole point of it was. But we come to a point where Castiel and Dean aren't talking for whatever reason for the millionth time, but Castiel ends up becoming the father of this Nephilim, which is a human angel hybrid that you only really hear about in the Bible. They're supposed to be very tall, but is not in supernatural lore. And we get Jack Klein, who is essentially, for all intents and purposes, the adopted son of Gene Winchester and Castiel Winchester. Essentially, it's what he is.
Yeah. You look on the wiki under Dean's relationships and it says surrogate son for Jack and
Yeah.
everything. And the same thing for Castiel.
I do think it's an interesting because originally Dean doesn't like Jack because he can only see Lucifer. And it's only when he gets to know Jack that he starts to see Castiel that he warms up to him. That's how most people have kind of characterized it. I'd kind of checked out of the show at this point. So most of these episodes are more theory for me than fact, but because again, this is like Teen Wolf, where you can just look at the GIFs and you don't have to watch the episodes proper to get the gist of it. I feel like I watch the show without having to actually ever tune in to the channel, I have to be honest.
There was some in terms of Dean's original hostility towards Jack, there was something to do with the fact that Castiel died at one. It was all involving the actions of around Jack's birth and such, and Castiel keeping an eye on the pregnant mother and such, and it caused Castiel to die again, or well, temporarily, and that's the reason part of the reason why Dean distrusted Jack at first, along with being Lucifer's son. So there is actually a connotation there that technically, the boy led to Dean's love interest getting offed again. So that might have been some of the grievance in that sense, if you read it like that.
Well, yeah, and that's interesting because this is where it's called the widower arc by pretty much everyone, essentially. And what's interesting is that Dean is in mourning, and Castiel has been in mourning for Dean before, but there was never a sense of finality for any of the main characters. And at this point, Castiel was a main character. And what's interesting is that the main characters aren't supposed to die. They're supposed to live. Everybody else around them will eventually die. That is the conceit of the show. But Castiel had been resurrected so many times by the fans that they really couldn't kill him off. He was the third Winchester, because they never really fully accepted Adam. Jack is an interesting character because even if you look at it from fan fiction perspective, he is a blend of Dean and Cass. They even put him in costuming on the show where he's half trench coat, half flannel, which is like code for Dean and Cass. And that's something the costumer must have at least realized they were doing halfway through it.
I mean, you've got Dean like taking him under his wing and pretty much showing him the family trade and stuff like that, and
Yeah.
you know.
There's also an interesting arc here, too, with Dean becoming jealous when Cass comes back. Because there's a whole thing with another universe where Mary is still alive, and that's a whole thing. And there's a whole thing on the internet about Mary discovering that Dean and Cass still are in love. But there is a section of this arc where Mary is still alive from this alternate universe where there's a new kind of hunter guy who's from England, I guess, whose name I cannot remember to save my life. I wasn't invested enough to look on the Wikipedia. But Dean becomes jealous of him because he openly flirts with Cass, and I can't tell if Cass doesn't get it or if Cass just isn't interested. But Dean's jealousy over people flirting with Cass was never this level. He was always like erstwhile trying to push Cass into relationship with women and going on dates when he was human. And then this other hunter person from England comes in to the bunker, to the Men of Letters life. And it's like a flip to switches in Dean Winchester, and his jealousy just like slices through the air. You can almost imagine going to like rom-com levels of like stealing like the phone number that the guy gives to Castiel, because he's like, literally, call me. And Dean's just having none of it.
What is this, a Queer as Folk episode?
It almost was at that point. And it's interesting too, in the last few seasons, that for some reason they felt more comfortable in doing that. Like they did the Scooby-Doo episode, they did the episode where they like parent trap and bring the doppelgangers. The last season, or the season before last, is the episode where Dean has a daydream where he dances with a lamp for some reason that I just can't comprehend why. It's an interesting thing where they were both so afraid of having Dean be openly bisexual, but they were giving him, it's like they were trying to give him his freedom in every other way so he'd be mollified. But as we learned from Jensen, because this is one of the only things about the finale he'll really talk about now, is for a long time he wrestled with that finale and what they were going to do to Dean. And he knew it wasn't right. And he basically got bullied by the people in charge into being okay. And it was all in fan service to like the Jared Padalecki show, his Walker show they were trying to make for him, because they were trying to make the finale something that would be not a backdoor pilot, but like a Sam-centric thing, instead of being about both brothers, instead of giving Dean freedom, instead of letting Dean just be openly bisexual, or if he was actually gay, being openly gay or pansexual or however, whatever shade of queerness he was. They basically took that away to give screen time to Jared Padalecki, and it's such a backward-thinking thing to do. They could have been forward-thinking and maybe even not had Dean come out. But they fridged Castiel. They send him to super hell after he tells Dean that he loves him. And like, I cannot express to you all that even though I was an on-again, off-again viewer for the 15 years of the show, because to be frank, it's really hard to watch because it's such an inconsistency with both the Dean and Castiel relationship, but also how often the brothers break up and come back together for things they're doing. It's a very inconsistent show in its own way. It was really special, Dean and Castiel. Destiel was probably one of the most special, most complicated relationships on television. And I'm including Charlie and Penny from Lost. I'm including Van and Cheyenne from Reba. I'm including the non-romantic adventures of the kids from Rugrats, who people loved so much they moved them into a teen show called All Grown Up, where they were teens. Like, I don't think people get in the span of 15 years from 2005 to 2020, essentially. We watched Dean and Sam Winchester grow into people who learned who they were. And that's something you don't see on TV. Like, even shows like ER and Grey's Anatomy, which are set in one location with a rotating cast of characters, I didn't feel like I got to know the cast of ER as well as I got to know the Winchester brothers. It was a remarkable thing to have done. And those last three episodes threw it all away for service for a Jared Padalecki pilot. And yes, people like Walker. It's like in its third season or whatever. But there's no way it's not slightly tainted by what happened. I mean, there's just no way. There's going to be a part of the audience that, no matter how sweet Jared Padalecki is, no matter how much they pile around at Comic Cons, I mean, for a while there was stuff Jensen Ackles wouldn't even talk about in regards to Dean and Cassiel, because people just didn't know how to give him space to processing or didn't know how to ask him questions in a way where he could actually answer. I did find that part a little hurtful and a little like a little too pressing. And I think that's partially, again, fans not ever having had something like this before. But also just the thirst for non-traditional queer representation in fantasy is really strong. I mean, even if you think about things like the Harry Dresden Files, the Anita Blake series, and I'm thinking of fantasy books because I can't think of many fantasy shows, but there's never really been queer representation within them. Dean Winchester was really the first bisexual male character on screen I think we'd ever seen.
I would argue you have to consider Shadowhunters with Magnus and Alec. And then they did also have several minor queer characters within that series as well.
And you could talk about Merlin too a little bit. Maybe I'm also, but it's also like they Shadowhunters comes after Supernatural by quite a few years, right? I don't know what year Shadowhunters. It just started appearing on my Tumblr one day back when I had a Tumblr. I'm not really sure what year it started, but it kind of lives in that same zone where it's also very much a Teen Wolf type show. I want to say it probably started in 2013, 2014. I think it probably, because I saw it after Steve Buckey, so it's got to be after the Avengers film.
I'm just pulling up information now, good sir. Please pardon me. The original City of Bones, which was the novel that started off the series, was 2007. And from what I understand, Magnus and Alec's relationship was quite well established within the novels, and they were published over the next few years. But there is sort of enough there that, that took a while to take off, and it was popularized by the TV show.
I will say I do like that because that is more POC representation, because I think the two main leads, Harry Shum and the guy that plays the other one, he's, I think it's Daddario, Alexander Daddario, maybe. So I know it's Harry Shum was one of them. And he had also been in Glee. That was after he was done with Glee. So there is some, and it all kind of happens around the same time, but I would argue just on longevity alone, not just being the longest running fantasy, but also I think Dean Winchester is a solo remarkable character because there never, at least in my generation, been an examination of masculinity and performative masculinity. Because Dean went through all the stages of masculinity. He went from like kind of yuppie, and then he was like kind of twinkish. He went through grieving. He went through finding new relationships. There's something about Dean's bisexuality and the length of time that we saw it that made it really special. We witnessed more facets of Dean's character than I think of any other character probably ever on television. And the Winchester is the Supernatural is a show that works better on television than streaming. Because if you take a break between episodes by the week, you don't realize how kind of similar and monotonous it gets after a while. If you take the break, then you come back to it, it feels fresh. If you watch it streaming in one sitting, it starts to like exhaust you a little bit. Because not all the episodes are remarkable. Some of them are cute. Some of them are kind of cringy. There were 15 seasons of it made. So like, it's not all going to be incredible, but enough of it is.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. There was 327 episodes. You can't expect a high same level of quality over 300 episodes.
But I do think also, because I don't want to lose this, because I know we're getting up there in time a little bit, I don't want to lose how special Castiel was as a character. Not just because Misha Collins does a great job at being one of the most accepting celebrities out there, literally putting his phone number out there, showing pictures of himself. Being very queer, but also being very secure in his masculinity in a variety of ways. There's something about Castiel as a character that basically comes in as a blank slate, just following God's plans and then breaking that over and over again, going through several different mental phases, both good and bad. There's enough there that you can see why Dean would grieve for him. Not just because he brings joy to Dean's life, but because he unequivocally trusted Dean, healed him over a time. There's a lot in their relationship, including sort of this BDSM quality. There is a sort of sub-dom-ness to their relationship. There's something that you see when Dean is with Castiel where you can see his ability to be submissive because Castiel can take care of him, especially when he has powers. But he can also be dominant because Castiel sometimes needs people to save him and to call him on his crap. There's a really great rhythm to their relationship when they're allowed to have it. I'd argue that if you did a Supernatural cut that's just Dean and Castiel, it's still a pretty darn good show. In fact, maybe if they cut out all the episodes where they're just fighting for no reason, where they've fought and they've gone off and you cut off the episodes that are just filler while they try to keep Misha Collins off the set, that you would get a really interesting story about two people that learn how to be in love with each other. And whether there was a sexual component to it or not, and I believe there was, whether or not there was a sexual component to it, there is something about the ability of two male-presenting characters falling in love that is very special. And it's something very unique we'd never see again. And I think that's where all the pain from sending Castiel to super hell, from not letting Dean say I love you back, from doing a finale that's all about Sam Winchester and breaking every rule of the person that Dean Winchester was that we knew him to be. I think that's where all my pain and so many other people's pain came from. It was just so poorly written. And it just did such a disservice to the fan. And after 15 years, to have people that have been there for all 15 years and basically go, well, we hope you'll catch Walker. I mean, that's dumb. That's just bad. That's like Ryan Murphy crossing a picket line telling people if they don't work for him on Delicate, which is what he said, by the way. So don't watch Delicate. Don't be a scab. If you go to Ryan Murphy levels of douchiness, that's what you get for it. And I know that people blamed Jared and then didn't blame Jared, but there had to have been a part of him as an actor that knew that it wasn't right what they were doing. Because by the time we got to the end of the show, Sam had his own love interest in Eileen, who was also great for representation, being a deaf hunter. You know, Sam and Dean were naturally drifting apart. They were brothers, but they were starting to live their own lives. There's a lot of great fan fiction that shows Dean moving out of the bunker with Cass and creating his own roadside bar for supernatural people, and they've raised Jack together. But at the end of the show, in the last couple of seasons, Dean and Sam don't really need each other as much. And that's something, too, that is kind of problematic in taking that step back, is You basically wrote it over the course of the show so they learn to be independent and say yes and no to each other. But then you have it go all the way back at the finale, and it's not Mary Tyler Moore. It's not good, you know? You can't
No.
end in the newsroom like Mary Tyler Moore when you left the newsroom a long time ago.
Yes, it's it, de it definitely is a case that sadly rushed writing at the end spoiled what should have been a fitting conclusion to 15 years worth of storytelling within this universe. It's clearly that things should have been handled better, and sadly, you don't really need hindsight to see sometimes. If you don't put the effort in, it's gonna, leave a bad taste in people's mouths at the end of the day. So we're coming towards the end of our time. Did you have any concluding thoughts on Destiel?
I think I've ranted quite enough. As I said, it was very special. I do think there is a sexual component, but I can definitely see where you might have issue with that because Castiel was for a long time a vessel of Jimmy Novak. So I do understand where that can become a gray area for you. I do think Dean Winchester believes in consent, so I don't think he would have done anything untoward. I really loved Dean and Cass together. I thought Destiel was incredible, and I mourned heavily when they fridged Castiel because it wasn't necessary and it had been a queer trope that I thought had been gone for a while. And then Castiel was like one of four queer characters in that month that was like openly murdered by the character creators, and it got so bad that people that produce these shows had to step in and say, "Hey, we're sorry for killing the gays," but like, that happened all in one month, and that was really hard for queer representation on TV.
My only hope is the fact that, considering, like, mild spoilers here for everyone listening, but I'm presuming that people by now have seen Supernatural if they're listening to our podcast on it. Considering, like, Ca Jack brings Castiel back in the end to help him run Heaven, and Dean joins them and such, and considering what happens within the Winchesters, there is scope for, if there was novels and comics in the expanded universe, that we could very well get some good conclusive Destiel in the future if there was a writer able to get past, like, the people that own the rights to the show to do it.
There have been, so much like Buffy in the first couple of years when it started to grow in popularity, people did write extended universe novels. So there are some early Dean and Sam novels, and there are some comic books. So they could bring that back, but I do think the CW's resources are limited enough that I don't know if they're going to try to go back to that well, especially because they canceled the Winchesters. But that would be really great to be able to get something like at the level of Twist and Shout, which I think is probably the iconic Supernatural fan fiction in which Dean and Cass have this very 1950s Opus style relationship with Vietnam in the background. It's actually one of the most complex fan fictions I've ever read, and one of the few where Dean and Cass are both exclusively human, which is also interesting because Castiel being an angel is a big part of the show, and their familiarity with the supernatural is important. But yeah, if somebody wrote a Twist and Shout style finale for Dean and Cass, I'm sure that would make money and be received incredibly well. And if it's me, I wouldn't be sad about it. But I don't know if I'm the right person for the job. So
Don't sell yourself short, sir.
yes, I will not sell myself short. You never know.
Right then. So I think that concludes our chat on Destiel for this evening.
Yeah, you got me to keep it to under 2 hours. So congratulations to you. I didn't even get to the surrogacy parenting that happened to Dean and then Dean was able to do. But we were focused on Destiel. There might be more episodes about Supernatural in the future. There'll be references to it in other shows that we do, I'm sure, because it was unique, but it influenced other stuff. Yes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll see you next time for more Everything is Gay, even the straight stuff.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.